I shot in the head? Whoa. Damn, them Swedish House Mafia ain't fucking playing.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
We have music for you this week, as we do like pretty much every single week. It's kind of how it works, as being a music podcast. We also got some news, apparently some retirements, some jailings. Some broken backs.
Shots fired.
Broken backs. You know, just the usual stuff. Plus, the albums we're reviewing this episode is Hollywood Bleeding by... Our very own Post Malone, Bimini Road by Moon Boots, some of Sean's, this is continuing our like electronic hipster shit month, I guess, and Love and Compromise by Mahalia, lot of music to talk about, like we do on a music podcast.
Yes.
Let's get into some news very quickly before we talk about Post Malone's album though. The big news story of music this week has been Nicki Minaj allegedly announcing her retirement.
She gone.
Yeah. She deleted the original tweet announcing her retirement because it said, "I've decided to retire and have my family. I know you guys are happy now. To my fans, keep repping me. Do it till the death of me in the box because ain't nobody checking me. Love you for life." So, you know, like, I'm retired.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard you're a musician. I'm retired.
Minaj deleted the tweet and eventually said she'd discuss her upcoming plans on Queen Radio. So, of course, it's like a... publicity
stuff,
as always is. No guests, just us talking about everything, she said. The tweet was abrupt and insensitive, I apologize. So, maybe she's not retiring. I mean, I just always said that this is going to be like a Jay-Z sort of retirement, where like, you say you're retiring, and then you come out with music like literally 3 months later.
Yeah, I could see that. If she actually is retiring to go with her family, that makes sense, because if you want to start a family, it's very, very hard to do that as a traveling musician, because you're on the road, 200 days of the year, maybe?
Yeah, Cardi did it.
And, yeah. And if you want to spend time with your family, then fuck it. More power to you. But if she does this stupid thing and then releases an album like 3 months, then, you know what short list she's going to be on. You know, we have a list for this, and it's getting longer and longer by the minute, but we might have to divide it into subsections.
We're going to have to gerrymander the list.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
That's so bad. So, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not allowed to talk about this. So,
yeah,
due to the conditions of my parole.
Let me. I don't even know if I should talk about this, but let's
you're
go.
You're allowed. You can do it.
Just barely. Okay, so let's try to get through this without me losing my job. Lil Nas X was on The Shop, the HBO like kind of talk show that takes place in the barbershop. And he.
By the way, Bam was like, The Shop is just the rich people's version of FDS. I'm like, this fucking kind of true, actually.
I mean, low-key, if we put, I'm not going to mention exact locations, but still. So they have that shop show happening, and then Lil Nas X is there, Kevin Hart's there, a couple of others are there, and then the topic turns to Lil Nas X and Old Town Road and why he chose to come out as gay when he did, when he was at the top of that song, sort of, like, peaking. And Lil Nas X is kind of trying to explain that, like, as a child... especially growing up in the black community, they're like prejudices.
It's like a super no in the black community.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're prejudices against like being gay, acting homophobic, even though there's like a lot of they're gay people in the black community. There are a lot of aspects about black culture that are kind of gay. But like, it's...
insert Riley quote here.
That's gay. it's funny because Kevin Hart, who has previously received shit for making homophobic jokes and then received shit for fake apologizing for those homophobic jokes twice, he decided to jump in and say,
I don't get it.
It's like, yeah, hey, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean by homophobia. It doesn't exist. Coming from Kevin Hart.
Homophobia sounds like a choice to me.
Right? My coworker, Brooke Thomas, has a really good point about this. This is basically literally gaslighting, especially with Kevin Hart's. Someone who has this past of homophobic jokes, talking to Lil Nas X saying, "What do you mean homophobia in the black community?" I love how Lil Nas X responded with, "If you're really from the hood, you know." And then Kevin Hart got a little moist after that statement.
I mean, he's got a point. Especially in the hood. If you're gay in the hood, oh my God, I feel bad for you.
No,
it's really rough.
It's a little bit better now, of course, with the times, but like...
And think of it like in the late 90s, early 2000s if you were gay then. in the hood.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't work.
Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Say you're from Detroit or Baltimore. Fuck. You can get shot for that.
And it's like during the AIDS crisis, so there's a lot of like scaremongering about. Like, homophobic, like being gay and all that stuff. So it's just all messed up. But Kevin Hart kind of got owned. It's just weird that Kevin Hart loves like shitting on the gays, even though he just paid a visit to Brokeback Mountain. But like, that's his fault. Okay. Post Malone has released an album and it's called Hollywood Bleeding.
Hollywood's Bleeding.
Hollywood's Bleeding, yes.
The plurals.
Hollywood is bleeding, so it's not really plural, it's kind of possessive. Anyways, it is 17 songs long, 51 minutes. It's pretty bland. Like, I don't know, I don't love Post Malone that much, I never really did.
No, I liked like two songs from... I don't know, Beer Bellies, Bentleys,
Beer
Booze,
Bongs and Bentleys.
Whatever.
I mean, everyone liked a couple songs off of Stony, because I think that was the one...
Stony was whatever, but I think the one we reviewed last year, there's a couple songs, because he did like a couple acoustic songs, and I'm like, this guy actually has some talent to him. He has a good voice, he can make good tracks. His trap is really shit, unless he has good people with him.
Yeah.
But this was really boring trap, and it's... I've been yelling about it so many times on this podcast, but it's a problem of the genre where it's just, it's getting too bland now to where you can basically, if you hear 2 seconds into the song, you've heard the entire song.
Yeah.
More or less. It doesn't matter what the lyrics are or whatnot, because
all the lyrics are basically the same themes and topics. It's not really an exploration of anything different or like a commentary on anything. Not like everything needs to be woke, but like not everything needs to be like secure the bag, go to the strip club, pull on ops. Like, it's just kind of boring, like, especially coming from Post Malone, where like there's an air of sometimes fiction and sometimes fictionalization with some of these artists and what they're talking about, but no one believes Post Malone's doing anything hard. Like, really, my complaint about a previous Post Malone album is that like a lot of times people listen to music so that it can be something they can relate to in their lives, but Post Malone is literally the most unrelatable person in his music, at least in previously, because it was just talking about like, I'm rich and everyone loves me, but I don't know how to feel about it. Like, I don't really like feel anything. It's or like
the ones, there's a song I can relate to him is Internet, which is song 13, because it talks about how he hates the internet because of like the culture and everything on it. Coming home late and I'm crawling to bed. She always be asking me, where have you been? Whoa, the world is gonna shit and we all know that. People freaking out like it's the process. On the Chino shorts, got all the bras, man. Well, fuck the internet and you can quote that. Whoa, it's love. While if ignorance is bliss, then don't wake me up. And I'll probably be the last to know. Cause I don't get on the internet no more. It's and I go, yeah, I could get on board with that. Because of how, especially social media and other shit, of how bad it is.
I will say,
I could say, like, from my perspective, because I think it's, social media to me is a blessing and a curse, more of a curse than anything, because of mental health things. It's extremely addictive. I don't think it's very healthy for people.
I think we were just given the internet and we didn't like give an opportunity to learn what its ramifications.
Exactly.
Are.
So that's a track I can be like, okay, it's good, decently about, but the rest of it's whatever.
I actually
album.
Didn't dislike the Ozzy Osbourne Travis Scott part as much as I did, because
really,
Ozzy Osbourne has this like chorus. I feel you crumbling, my arms down to your heart of stone. You bled me dry just like the tears you never show. Why don't you take what you want from me? Take what you need from me. Take what you want. And that's actually really good. The Travis Scott part I can honestly do without.
I mean, I can do without Travis Scott.
Yeah. But it was really good because whenever you have like an oddball rap collaboration where like...
Yeah.
Like, pardon the example, but like when Drake throws in Michael Jackson into a song, like it always feels like hacked in or put together. And that doesn't even matter if the person you're featuring in your album is dead or a rapist, but like it just... always feels like it doesn't properly fit into rap or trap a lot of the times when you throw in collaborators from outside that sort of world.
Yes,
and so this was actually
hard.
Done
it's,
really well.
It's pretty hard to do. Yeah. I could see that, I guess.
At least with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, right? Travis Scott, I mean, he's boring.
Yeah, exactly. So the arbitrary scale this week is Sharpies, and I guess more is breaking federal regulations on what you can say by weather reports.
But what to say.
So let's say more is better. Fuck the law. Also, we did more is worse last week, so I just want to change it up.
Okay, it's fine.
I mean, it's like three Sharpies.
Yeah, I was going to say 2.5, 3 Sharpies. It's like when you just scribble. It's 2.5 because you have those stub Sharpies.
Right.
You know those like keychain Sharpies you get? See, yeah. I can loophole you.
There we go.
I can lower you. So those little ones and you like write on them and you just start scribbling shit and you accidentally get it on your hand. And it looks like a tattoo and you're like, oh, well, this is here now.
Yeah,
and like that doesn't wash off.
This
for
is
a
there
week.
For 6 days. Yeah. Exactly.
It's never off.
Okay, so Azealia Banks went on one as she is wont to do, but this time in particular, she kind of went after a couple of artists, but namely Lizzo was in the crosshairs. Azealia Banks, and she does this a lot, like she like yes. goes after certain artists, but in this time Azealia Banks was trying to kind of say that Lizzo represented white America's simultaneous lust and disgust for the black female body, and called Lizzo a millennial mammy by saying, let me read the full quote, "I understand the body positivity thing, but if it were the most vulgar bits of it wouldn't be broadcast like that, LMFAO. Imagine what the rest of the world thinks when they see Lizzo jumping around in leotards with cellulite. No one says body positivity. She looks like she's making a fool of her black self for a white American public. Nothing more, nothing less."
Oh.
Which is,
hey,
so,
man.
I've heard this sort of, like, argument of, like, some celebrities exist as, like,
kind of caricatures of a community.
Yeah.
In a way.
Of their own community.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I largely kind of like, I don't know.
I don't think so
for
Lizzo.
Yeah, I think,
don't see that at all.
Yeah, like there are a whole like collection of like people like Amy Schumer for comedy, for example, who kind of like.
Her comedy is garbage.
Her comedy is garbage, but I'm talking about the term of like using your identity, specifically like your body's shape and size, as like part of your humor and part of your act and part of your appeal.
Yeah.
But, especially with music, I feel like it's harder for you to like choose your fans and choose your audience.
It's because comedy and other forms of art are easier to get into.
Yeah,
because
it's such a spoken medium. But like, you really know like what you're getting. Like, you know, if you like Joey Diaz's comedy, for example, it's because speaks in a certain way.
Yeah, but Lizzo, I thought her album wasn't half bad when we reviewed it. So I don't know what. I don't know what the hell Azealia Banks is on about.
And like, a lot of the songs, like, you don't have to be, like, a plus-size woman, for example, to like a lot of the songs.
No,
a lot of the
songs I blast it at work all the time, and this shit goes hard sometimes.
Yeah,
you're just like, damn, all right.
Yeah, because a lot of times, just, like, it's good music. It sounds fine. A lot of times, just, like, you can relate your own story kind of to it. Because
exactly.
A lot of it's just, like, about confidence and empowerment in oneself, which can be applied
to. She just happens to be plus-size, and if she goes hard on stage, she goes hard on stage. Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
I'll go hard on stage. I don't give a shit. I don't know. Azealia's on about, but whatever.
Azealia Banks also took aim at Cardi B and Lil Nas X, lumping them into a group of black artists she labeled lessers. Basically kind of looking down at Cardi B being...
Damn, what is she? Is Azealia Banks a slave owner? Like, is she...
Arian Banks over
Arian,
here.
Right? Is she one of those where she gets swooped up so much as a butler for a white slave owner that she just goes and just starts calling everybody the N-word? Damn. This guy's gonna stay in the big house.
The Samuel Jackson treatment.
Yep. Yeah. What's he doing on that nay?
I'm from Django, obviously. So we have Moon Boots, Bimini Road.
Bimini Road.
Bimini. You recommended this because I was afraid that we wouldn't have enough albums to review this week, and it turns out we had like too many. So some of the ones that were missing, like IDK, I know came out with an album, we'll probably bring up with music
that.
Recommendations or something.
Or
like that.
Something to or, like, or we can bring it in a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Fuck it, my podcast. I haven't said that in a long time.
It's been a minute.
But sometimes we can only do as much as we can. You know,
yeah.
We've got careers and shit. So honestly,
I wouldn't call mine a career. Anyways.
Unless people start paying us to do this shit, so. Anyways, Moon Boots, the Mini Road, 12 songs, 50 minutes long. Also, by the way, Post Malone's album was really long. It was like over an hour, so don't...
Yeah, Post Malone's album was like 51 minutes.
What's 51? I thought it was over an hour. Awkward.
No, it was just like 17 songs long, so it felt like over an hour.
Okay.
It did the trap thing where like most of the songs are kind of short, though.
That's... All right. That is true.
Anywho's.
I just kind of got out of my mind. Anyways, so I told him about Moon Boots. I've been listening to Moon Boots for a minute because naturally I heard it on MBE, but fucking rip MBE now because Jason Bentley left the show and now I'm left with nothing to get all of my new music from, and it feels different. It feels really weird to listen to MBE. It's like, yeah, damn, I'm going to miss Jason for a minute. They need someone to fill up. Hey, if you've...
I'm going to need some big shoes to fill,
for KCRW, sure. If you need a little DJ. I got the pedigree. Oh, I got the music taste. Let's go.
You are an established, moderately popular podcast host. So.
Exactly. And I always go in with the eclectic shit.
This is a lot of self-adulation for a music review. So let's come back.
So this is very, very, very good. I've always liked Moon Boots because he's done things of mixing house with jazz and funk and kind of doing this one especially more, but blending kind of a modern Daft Punk's homework into modern day, I wouldn't say EDM, but modern day electronic music. And this album especially does that. The first two songs, Tied Up and So Precious, especially So Precious, are straight, like, underground European house tracks.
Pure, clean, wholesome house is how I describe this.
I put it on, I was like, oh. Holy hell, this is literally cleaning my ears.
That's his
O-face.
That's his O-face.
Of fucking garbage music that sometimes pops up. And great music too, but just, I need this. And just pump it in my vein. More. Give me more.
House is really Sean's bread and butter in a lot of minds too.
It's for context, it's literally what I grew up listening to. I listened to classic rock, Radiohead, and House.
Yes.
That's like when I was 4 and 5 on a Walkman, because I had a yellow ass Walkman. That's what I listened
Never
to.
Never forget.
I got Discovery when it came out. I remember that shit. I might still have it in my desk somewhere. I have a Live 97 on CD for sure. That shit's scratched up. I listened to that much. Anyways, so it feels almost like a house, like a full EDM mix. But this is the first album, really, from electronic artists where I can distinguish songs between songs. And it really gets a clear distinction between them. That's always my issue with certain artists when they make albums. And we've been saying that, too, because certain DJs and stuff, it's hard for them to make albums that are coherent without making them just a straight mix. deadmau5 does that very well. That's why I like him so much. And other artists have been doing that as well. But this is fantastic. He does a song, You Won't See Me Cry, with Little Boots, who I recommended Little Boots like 2.5 years ago.
Don't sleep
on your boy. Ever.
I wonder where we can... It's episode 64, I want to say?
Is it 64? Yeah. I definitely talked about her album Working Girl, which she made. She does some great stuff. She has like some garage mixes and stuff on Mixmag and Boiler Room. But that song, You Won't See Me Cry, is a banger of a track.
Yeah,
so good. Production of everything, her voice is amazing. I just love it where it's like Moon Boots with Little Boots.
Yeah,
I just thought that was kind of comical.
It's
too.
Like when I first saw MF Doom songs featuring MF Grimm. Like, I don't have the best relationship now, but it's like, oh, that's cool, that's a thing.
Right.
So it's like not so much like a YBN thing where like literally anyone can attach their like name to this like group, and a lot of them are like in jail. But it's just like there's just like a little duo thing. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like they have Big Dragon, Little Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. And
or the Good, the Bad, the Queen. No, not really, but you know, like,
and I agree names. What you mean. Gary's House is good, and Whisper in the Wind, Juanita, it's just everything in this album is so damn good. I'm very happy, and much impressed with Moon Boots. Because the first single I heard, I was like, okay, this has got some traction, and just literally top to bottom, I've listened to this maybe 5 times since it came out, at least. I put it on shuffle,
this is your
and
wallop.
Just like, boom, 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 this is my wallop. Yeah, exactly. And, Yeah. Anyways, I want to do same. Go.
Yes. I don't have like a ton much to add to what you said because I pretty much feel the same way. The one difference I have with what you said is that it's for you, it's easier to tell like the difference between some of the songs. I find that like a constraint of house is that eventually the beats, not the whole songs, but the beats end up sounding kind of similar because like
that's the construction of house. Yeah, like the first two songs are definitely basically have the same beat. They're different songs, but yeah. I can say that for the first two for sure.
Yeah.
But then like Gary's House, You Won't See Me Cry, Transcendental, those songs are, they're like funk because he brought this up a while ago. Funk is back and holy shit, it really is. Because I think my favorite thing to come out of this year is funk EDM.
Yeah.
Because it's so good if you do it right.
Yes.
Because if you make it hypey-typey, then you just go ceiling fan and just, you know, let's rock yourself. But if you do it right, it's one of my favorite kind of subgenres now.
Yeah.
So.
It reminds me of the Grizz album that we reviewed a little bit earlier. Like, Grizz is kind of always
kind
done.
Of like something like that. Yeah.
I mean, like, not really in sound at all because Grizz kind of like it goes all at you with the jazz and the funk and the EDM. And it's definitely more like modern EDM influence, whereas this is like this bread and butter house.
Mm-hmm.
But like as far as the goal of like bringing funk to
electronic
and like really making that kind of be the shining part of it and making it sound fucking different.
Exactly.
It's so good. Like I'm very happy for it. I'm not feeling like EDM is like completely
dying. And remember, because this is the whole joke of me making fun of Dan because his thing of EDM, because we both love it, but he's always his worry is that it's not, it's dying out.
It's stagnating.
I'm like, it's not if you know the right artists, and that's the problem of EDM, and that's always going to be the problem of EDM because the popular, it's just like pop, where you have, you know, artists that make generic bullshit music that get millions of hits. But then you have really good underground artists that we talk about, and everybody's like, who's that? I'm like, well, you should know. And that's why we make Audio Face. Anyways, this is a solid 9.5 Sharpies. I want to give it 10, but I want it to be longer.
I'll give this 8.5 Sharpies.
8.5 Sharpies?
I still will stand by that, like, it's a house constraint, but, like, this is the same constraint I give to trap or even rock sometimes, where, like, it sort of, like, has a certain construction that is hard to
and
escape.
And I don't know anybody yet. Really, who can break out of it? The only one...
Disclosure,
yes, but they...
In the first album, Settle, they a little bit less, but definitely by Caracol.
It was a bit different. There's very few. Daft Punk, obviously, because they're the baseline. I don't even know how they make that shit.
But now we're talking about like murderers.
It was exactly. That's like the holy grail of it. I'm saying that's basically the only artists that do it are literally the best of the genre. So, but Moon Boots is amazing, and I'm going to be listening to this for the rest of my life. Pretty
awesome.
Much, it's going to be on like my playlist and shit. So, yes. So,
ASAP Slöjer, the one who is representing him in Sweden during his whole sort of incident, has been. I'm just going to call this. Wait. No. There's so much weird about the story. The more I read it, the weirder it is. So let me try to set it up. ASAP Rocky had a lawyer represent him in Sweden, in addition to his own like legal team. You know, it was like anytime you're in a legal system in a civilized country and America, each side is given a lawyer. But Henrik Olsen Lidja apparently called the police after being shot in the head and chest. So much is weird about this.
Apparently someone tried to kill him?
No, that's definitely like an execution.
That's a straight like gang trial. Like you and your boys are talking shit, right? And some guy in the hood walks up behind your homie, and you're just like sitting there, like, and then he gets popped out in his cranium.
Yeah, there's definitely
he's gonna be more open minded after this.
So according to numerous reports, Olsen Lidger was leaving his apartment early Friday morning. According to Consequences of Sound Writing This Up, was apparently ambushed by a man waiting inside the building. Forbes reports there was a scuffle between Olsen Lidja and he was shot in the head and chest. The assailant sped off in a black SUV, while a neighbor gave the victim a phone to call 911 about 9 a.m. local time. Hold.
A neighbor gave him a phone to call 911, not the neighbor calling 911.
It's the bystander effect at work, dude.
Is it like... No snitching. I can't be no witness if I don't speak. So hear my phone. That's the hood in a nutshell right there.
I did not know Sweden went this hard.
I mean, I don't know. I guess Sweden's
good. No, I guess the guy giving the phone is like, Wouldn't let that shit happen to me, no.
Pretty much.
But yeah,
this is wild.
I guess if you do like witness someone get killed, like execution style, getting to an argument, you like want to touch out, like you'll help, just, like, but you want to touch out.
You're like, hey.
Like, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we will kind of bring this up later on. But it's kind of like when Tekashi 6ix9ine was beat up and he escaped apparently to a car that like drove him around the corner, but then told him to get out.
Yep, that's my favorite story ever. It's like, hey man, he's like, you gotta get the fuck out of my car right now.
Yeah, it's like, I'll drive you like around the corner to the main street, but after that, you gotta get the hard fuck out of my
car. It's like, after that, wouldn't that shit happen to me though?
So,
basically, don't be A$AP lawyer, A$AP Rocky's lawyer, apparently. Anyways, we've got an album.
Yes, Love and Compromise by Mahalia. I'm so bad at names.
Generally. You're worse than me right now. Oh, 13 songs, 43 minutes long.
It's like,
whoa,
I hate R&B as a genre. We've talked about this.
I know, it's bullshit, but that's pretty much what it is.
It's a singer-songwriter sort of like album kind of thing.
I mean, we've had a couple of these this year, and they keep getting better and better, especially with female singer-songwriter combos.
Especially British female singer-songwriter
combos. Seriously, holy shit. Like, it's just, every time I go on, I'm like, man, I just literally need, I need to make a playlist of just R&B sex and just put, there's so much really that has come out in 2019 and, then, and late last year too, late 2018 of just, man, I mean, Janelle Monae, you just keep going on and on.
Six Lack?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I still don't know how to say his name. Six Lack, apparently.
Black with a six. And this is similarly in that vein, a very, very good singer-songwriter slash R&B album. That basically just kind of plays through perfectly.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The production of it's great. I really like, I wish I missed my hex. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. The lyrics are hilarious. You know I've been waiting for this call. Baby, I don't want to do this all today. Don't you know you're so predictable? I can tell you everything you're gonna say. Like, hey, or, hi. How you been lately? Fine. I've been missing you, baby. I don't know if I can take this again. Every time the weekend comes, yeah, I know that it won't be long, yeah. So you're gonna call my phone, yeah. You'll be like, babe, come over. I know how this goes, yeah. Talk about you need closure. Too many missed calls, too many texts. Damn, I wish I missed my ex. It's like,
yeah,
he's being predictable, text me this and that. I wish I missed my ex.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, I wish I gave a damn.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, because I know how males are, if you're talking about males.
Males! Oh,
but males! Ideas. And, the blaze, everybody. So rough. Anyways, I don't need Michael Brooks laughing at this podcast. The way males operate when they get super defensive or, they're really self-conscious and other shit because that's just how males are. It's hilarious to me. That song is just all about it. I'm like, I know way too many guys that do that.
Yeah, because it's like the kind of comical guy who like fucks around or fucks up or like point his relationship is over.
Yeah, and he's
but
like
keeps calling back for more.
Yeah, we do better. I could be a good guy again. She's like,
mostly because they're
horny. Fuck you.
Yeah. but like even there are still songs like the direct contrast to that is like He's Mine later down the album.
Well, yeah.
Of like,
she's like, nah, he taken. But it's like when you go in the bar, he's like, who did this? Oh, I knew I was gonna catch you up here with that white bitch pulling out your tail, pulling out, hold my weave.
Damn. Oh, whipping his ass.
Oh, whipping his balls.
Stomping on his ball. Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. Okay. That's another great Boondocks episode.
Oh my god, there's a lot of Boondocks this episode,
from,
man.
From Killer Kung Fu Wolf Bitch.
No, but, that's one of my favorites. Jet Magazine said, she's in the Kubite.
Okay, so you get kind of...
Speaking of, she had a song called Richie, that's really funny.
You get both on this album, which is the best thing. Like, mm-hmm. You get like the I'm over you, but you also get the I love you, and like everything in between.
Which is always a mood, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
I really love good company. Do a little shuffle just to get a little closer. Yeah, I love the way the lighting is catching your face. Now I see you clearly, this is more than a daze. And I don't expect you to feel the same. Well, I don't expect you. But if you can respect me, I'll let you stay. kind of like
Lana Del Rey, take notes.
Taylor Swift, take notes. Notice, like, this is a woman. We're not like
Ariana Grande, take notes.
Yes. Actually, Ariana Grande writes standards.
Whoa. Report to the principal's office at 2 p.m. Thank you. Off the intercom or whatever. He's like, damn, what'd she do today?
Oh, man.
It's rough. But this is a fantastic album. I love these senior songwriters that are just getting pumped out.
Yeah.
This year. And my God.
Please
keep it up.
There's a collaboration with Hamza and Lucky Dye. We reviewed Lucky Dye a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and he was
people.
Also of that, like, similar ilk of, like, really good trap and bee kind of thing. And this is not really trap.
No.
Like, this is of anything more of that electronic and house kind of thing you were doing.
Yeah. And it's really, there was pretty much no traps there. There's a couple sounds that kind of sounded trap-y. We'll have put quotations on it, but it wasn't. It kind of hinted at it.
Yeah,
is the best way to put it. So yeah, this is a solid. I'm gonna give it 8 Sharpies.
I have to mention song "What You Did" by LMI.
LMI, that's what LMI was hard, by the way.
Jules Santana and Cameron's Oh Boy.
That's right.
And it just does like it's a subtle thing, but yeah,
it just
slowed
loops.
It down and it turned into the beat. And it was like a really cool kind of like thing they threw in there.
I didn't catch on to that. That's a good ear on that.
Yeah.
Damn, I do listen to that song again.
It's great. Like, again, Lana Del Rey, take notes.
Take notes. Seriously. If you're going to do some shit from old schools, like, do something right instead of qualified rep the LBC walking over Venice.
Yeah.
Whack.
Whack. Facts.
Yeah. 8 Sharpies.
I'm giving it 9.
You give it 9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a fucking incredible album. We've got quick hits.
Daddy, we're getting ready.
This is a mini No Chill Island because there's a lot of prison in this.
The prison industrial complex is centered between big government and private industry. Did you just say what I said?
But smart.
The prison, baby. All right, Fetty Wap. Let's go first.
This is Drama Queen.
He was arrested for battery in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
At the beautiful Mirage Hotel.
Bad things happened at the Mirage Hotel. Let's be fucking honest here.
The only bad thing that didn't happen at the Mirage Hotel was... the Grammy-nominated artist whose government name is Willie Maxwell was
never
booked
on... that. I love this government. This is my government name.
Was booked on Otis Jenkins. So, he was booked on 3 counts of misdemeanor battery. Apparently, he got into an argument with 3 employees. One of the victims was an alleged valet attendant who got into a dispute with Fetty Wap. The disagreement turned physical, forcing another employee to make a citizen's arrest until the police came to the scene.
Damn! He's like, hey, why'd you fuck up my ride, though? He's like, I just drove around. You fucked up my ride, though! That's exactly how he sees going on.
Like, you're not winning if you're like,
if you're trying to body the valet. Who are you trying to flex? If you're trying to battle the valet, like, every girl's gonna look at you and be like, this guy whack over here and just walk out. Like, that's not a good move.
That's a loser.
That's a super loser.
Meanwhile, in Morrissey, how long till Morrissey's on the Rubin Report?
I'm so down. I will watch that shit. Morrissey on the Rubin Report. First off, I actually really like Morrissey's music. Like, his old music, actually.
Yeah, right.
It's fantastic. Especially the Smiths, his first solo record, amazing. And then he just
His opinions on the Chinese, however.
His opinions on the Chinese, I was like, dog, you gotta chill, man. This is just almost as bad as, what's her face, coming over the North Vietnam and, like, sitting on guns and shit. Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah.
Maybe, I can't remember. Anyways, this is hilarious. His U.S. tour is suffering from low ticket sales, and tickets of an upcoming show in Camden are going for as low as $7. I wipe my ass with $7. $7 ain't
like
dick.
I'm not very wealthy, but $7 is like a rounding mistake in my for my for me. Like, oh my god!
I think you could go. I think Florida Panthers tickets are $10. When you're not selling out enough and your tickets are cheaper than Florida Panthers tickets, man, dude, that's rough. For those who don't know, Florida Panthers are an NHL team that suck royal asshole. And they literally, I think they have the lowest attendance in the NHL by far, and they have like 200 people come to their games. It's like, this is rough. But $10 tickets, still more expensive than Morrissey.
I just have to throw in one Morrissey quote every single time we mention him from 2010.
Yes.
Discussing animal cruelty in China, Morrissey told The Guardian, quote, "You can't help but feel the Chinese people are subspecies."
He really hates them. I fucking hate Chinese! Man, this is just Tyler's Boondocks episode.
Oh my god.
Alright, so this is beautiful.
This is, and we always like to end audio face in a fun note. And, well, actually, these are the fruits of, what is this? Tekashi 6ix9ine's.
Of Pretty Boy Fizzy's.
Singer songwriter album, actually, that he recorded. Live from
Folsom Prison.
Live from the Southern District of New York.
I would never want to be in New York jail. Tiny desk, yes. Tiny desk. Live from a New York prison cell. Featuring Tekashi 6ix9ine.
So Tekashi 6ix9ine's manager, Kefano Shoddy Jordan, has been sentenced to 15 years in El Clink.
He's pleading guilty on one count of firearm possession during a crime, one count of firearm discharge during a crime. How does the defendant plead? Guilty. Okay. Sentenced to 15 years.
Squeeze it!
Squeeze!
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Tekashi 6ix9ine literally snitched on his manager.
He did.
And now he's going to jail. And that's not all. He snitched on his manager. He snitched on his friends. He snitched on his collaborators. He snitched on his gang.
Damn, you're really making a case for no little bitch on Tekashi. I forgot how bad it was. Because you don't snitch out on your own crew. He literally gave everybody up.
Fuck around, get the whole label set up for years. Yeah, that's kind of what Tekashi
pretty much what he did. And he needs to stay in jail, because once he's out of jail, literally he gets stepped out and he's getting like drive-by'd.
Yeah, he might have to watch. Hopefully he has some, not even a bodyguard around him, just someone to hand him the phone so he can call 911.
No, yes, exactly. No, because they'll be like, no snitching.
Thank you for not snitching.
Damn.
This is super a Boondocks
episode. We're in hell, but at least we ain't in jail. This is bad.
This is an extreme Boondocks episode. Let's end it before we get copyright infringement.
Seriously.
This has been Audio Face episode 111.
Yeah, it's the BF-111. BF-111 is a decent plane.
Next week, we've got albums that we will be reviewing, as usual. It'll be, you know, some combination of Metronomy, Charlie XCX, Korn, also the Lumineers.
Lumineers, that'll be interesting. Charlie XCX, I'm actually interested about, because she's kind of an up-and-coming pop artist.
Pop electronic.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what she can do. I believe M83...
End of the month.
It's the 20th. Yeah. It's the 20th.
Yeah, later this month, we've got new pornographers, Tegan and Sarah. It's supposedly Sampa the Great, but like that's been disappeared.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I hope it's coming soon, because there's a Sampa the Great song that's been playing recently that's really good. But it's great. This has been Audio Face. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, and on YouTube at youtube.audioface.show. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web, and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram, if we trust you, at SW Suarez.
Always.
And we will talk to you next week, where we'll have more music news and
more stuff.
More updates from Tekashi 6ix9ine's prison cell. Don't get it, Steamed. Cheers.